everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And this is David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the Baptism of the Lord, Year C. Epiphany is 4 days behind us, so we will leave that for another year. For now, we want to start the new year with lots of energy and imagination, and multiple intelligence theory can help us do just that. Let's find out how.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, vision or eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. This week, we're looking at passages that reveal God's power and majesty, as well as mercy and promised presence. By using different smarts, we hope to give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them.
Now it's time once again for a Smart of the Week. This time, let's explore body smart, more formally known as bodily kinesthetic intelligence. Summarizing from Dr. Thomas Armstrong's book, Multiple Intelligences in the Classroom, which we have a link to on our webpage, the body smart person has awareness and expertise in using the entire body, both in learning and expressing ideas and feelings. Tactile sensation is one of the earliest ways we gather information about the world in infancy. And for body smart people, this continues to be a primary method of interacting with their surroundings. They're particularly good at using their hands and bodies in expressing themselves and translating and transforming objects. According to Armstrong, this intelligence includes specific physical skills such as coordination, balance, dexterity, strength, flexibility, and speed, as well as proprioceptive, tactile, and haptic capacities, which include locating one's body in space, a sense of touch, and manipulating objects by touch. Occupations associated with body smart include actors, athletes, dancers, surgeons, and mechanics.
Examples of body smart in the worship life of the church include liturgical dance or interpretive movement, craftsmanship of furniture and furnishings, handling the communion elements, and prayer postures such as standing or kneeling, and folding or extending the hands. All of these might be expanded, of course, with special effects that get people moving or touching things, while body smart illustrations strive to produce concepts that one could imagine actually doing in the physical world or already having done in the physical world. And that's our Smart of the Week.
Yay!
Our Old Testament lesson for Year C, the Baptism of the Lord, comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. There are a lot of images in this, and it managed to spark for us illustrations for every single one of the smarts. So hold on, here we go. We're going to take a look at them. Some of the images about God creating, God forming, God redeeming, God being with the people, passing through the waters and through fire, God giving people in return, bringing people from east, north, west, and south, and everyone giving God glory. It's quite the passage.
Taking a look at word smart, we don't always do word smart because we're always word heavy anyway, but we've got a couple things for word smart. Special effect that you can do here for that for this passage, particularly connecting with the east, west, north, south, is synonym time. And find ways of bringing out for the folks different ways of expressing everywhere. Invite them to throw out some answers or come up with a bunch yourself. Just different ways that we talk about everywhere. And another special effect that you can use here is to give everybody a name tag and invite them to write their names, the names that they go by, on the name tag at the top, and then underneath that, write the name that they think God might call them or that they would want God to call them.
Looking at the phrase, "I have redeemed you," we're going to be exploring that through the math smart, the logic smart. Redeemed is an exchange. It's a redemption. And in terms of a redemption, what we are most familiar with is monetary redemption, giving something of value to gain something in return. If you're old enough to remember these, SNH green stamps, you used to collect those and then you'd send them in and you'd get things back. The more modern experience of those are gift cards and Groupons. Something you might be able to do as a special effect for that is just bring some in and talk about what does it mean to have a redemption? What does it mean to be redeemed in a financial situation, but also explore that and what it might mean personally as well.
For Body Smart, we're looking at the verse, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you, and when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned." So then we might talk about what it's like actually moving through water. Maybe somebody has a water aerobics class or something that they're
perfect.
Familiar with.
That's a, hydrotherapy.
Or just walking through the water if you're in the pool or in the ocean.
Or in a river.
How hard it is to move through water. But there's also a danger that comes with moving through rapidly moving water, flood waters, for example, which might be what was being thought of here. Of course, images from New Orleans and Katrina would be appropriate to put in here, which also would be iSmart. And then as far as walking through the fire, of course, that's not something that you want to do in your sanctuary, probably.
And no one in their right mind would do that anyway.
Well, except maybe firefighters. So for a special effect, you might invite a firefighter, a local firefighter, to come and talk a little bit about what it's like walking through fire.
Music Smart is very brief. We were excited to find a favorite hymn of ours. If you have access to the new hymnal called Glory to God, hymn number 177 is one called "I Will Come to You, You Are Mine." And it specifically and explicitly quotes this psalm. It is beautiful. It's lovely. Highly encourage it.
It's by David Haas, 1991.
Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Again, going back to passing through the waters, we're going to look at this in the Nature Smart. It is difficult to pass through water. And as David already mentioned, it can be surprising how strong water can be. As little as a quarter inch of water could make a car hydroplane. You can lose the traction and that's it. You're off the road. Just a quarter inch of water. That's not much, but that's a surprisingly powerful wee amount of water that can cause some really spectacular crashes and a little bit of rapid heartbeat. I've hydroplaned once. It's not fun.
It's also about all you need to have if you're crossing, if you want to try and cross a flooded road.
Which people around here.
Which is a very bad idea.
And the local newscaster, don't drown, turn around. That's right. What we always hear.
Exactly. Because and this is especially true with that just a very little bit of water can pick up your car and move you downriver and you would be gone.
So. And right, because you have no idea what is in those rivers. As a matter of fact, if you want to do a special effect for those, you could call up images of the flood that happened in Estes Park in 2012 or 2013, and the power of the river as the Big Thompson River as it went down the canyon and what it did. It's sure. Just remarkable.
Or I'm sure there are images of the current flooding going on throughout
right,
the Midwest.
Right, the Mississippi. Yes, indeed.
For people smart, an illustration here that we're looking at is for the phrase, I have called you by name and you are mine. And you might call to mind those times when you were a kid, when we all were kids out playing in the street, and you hear the voice calling from the back door, calling your name and calling you in as the streetlights came on.
So we had a neighbor who would just whistle.
Oh, well, see. I suppose that would work. It doesn't work as an illustration for us today, though. So it may not always have been at the best time. In fact, usually not at the best time for your play. But it's always nice to know that there was somebody who called, who cared about your whereabouts. So for people smart, again, to get a little interaction going, you might invite your congregation to share with one another, turn to a neighbor, and talk about a time when they had that experience, or more specifically, a time when they heard God's call on their life, not just by name, but knowing that God had claimed them.
And finally, for our self-smart, we're looking at a couple of different verses that occur in different spots, excuse me, in the passage. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you. And then a little later on, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. An illustration that you could use for this particular passage is think about the pride and the concern that an artist or an artisan has for what that person has made. If you think about it, parts of that artist, parts of the person who formed or made something, go into that project. You can really learn something about the person who made that, their choices that they have made, the textures, the colors. So for a special effect, encourage your congregation to spend some time contemplating being made, formed, created by God. What of God is in them? And have they ever thought of themselves that way? What difference does it make for living? And something else you can do with a self-smart here, which kind of plays a little bit on body smart, is get modeling clay or Play-Doh and invite them to create a self-portrait with it, form something. And perhaps once as they see themselves, and once maybe as God might see them, again, playing on the name tag idea.
The psalm for the baptism of the Lord is Psalm 29. It's 10 verses, and it is filled with natural imagery. So the whole thing is pretty much nature smart. Boom, there you go. consequently, the way that you read this one can have a lot of impact for our understanding. It goes straight into our word smart because connecting with the words, and there's a lot of repetition in this. Ascribe to the Lord, ascribe to the Lord, ascribe to the Lord. The voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. So there's definitely word smart connections here. So the way you read it may have a lot of impact. Did I say that already? I may have. Okay, so.
For example.
I told you, there's a lot of repetition. So if you have the opportunity, put it together as a choral reading with different voices doing different parts of it to draw out some of it. Mm-hmm. At the very least, do it as a responsive reading with the congregation, perhaps. Or just think through how to bring out with your voice the power and majesty that is...
What's happening here.
Yeah.
It's nature is quaking.
Right.
At the sound of God's voice.
Right. So instead of just the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, you know, do something with that. Maybe if we get a chance, we'll throw something together and put it in the show notes. We'll see. Okay. So lots of visual stuff built into this. And consequently, if you just put together a slideshow of storms, running animals, trees and plants being thrashed by the wind, and have that going with the narration of the psalm, that would be awesome for your iSmart special effect. Get the idea of God's power coming across to folks.
Before you even say a word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of word and speaking of power... again, David said this whole psalm is a nature smart, so you can just explore that in remarkable ways. But for the people smart, the psalmist imagines that the response to this power, this hugely, sometimes devastating power, is praise. And so the question that you might ask is this really the first response that we have to earthquakes and floods? Probably, because we usually say when we see the devastation, oh my God. But it's a special effect. Have your congregation turn to one another and share a time when they were able to actually praise God, to say glory when they saw the power of God. It might not have been when they saw a house falling down in an earthquake or being swept away by a flood. I mean, that might not have been a moment for praise. That might have been more a moment for awe. But is there a time when you can actually see powerful things happening and give God glory? Piggybacking on that for the self-smart, again, with the power that's exhibited in this psalm, for the self-smart, give your congregation idea to consider difficulties or storms that are happening in their lives now or that have been happening recently, and ask them the question, is it possible to see God in those times, and is it possible to be able to say glory? That'd be an interesting exercise. Tell us how it goes. All right, moving on. The New Testament lesson for Year C, Baptism of the Lord, is from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. That is not an easy word to say. You were right. It's the story of Peter and John heading out from Jerusalem to Samaria to see what God has been doing with the people there. And they pray for the folks there who receive the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to go straight to body smart. And looking specifically at the laying on of hands and the receiving the Holy Spirit. Something that you can talk about as far as illustrations is how the word spirit in both Greek and in Hebrew has as an equivalent meaning breath. And if you think of breath and breathing, it's what we all do. And in a lot of ways, sometimes that's how we spread germs. It's contagious. It can be very contagious. And faith and receiving the Spirit is a contagious sort of thing. You get it from God and you get it from other people. It's spread about. Frederick Buechner says that the Spirit is highly contagious and that when you have breath, it's what you have when you are alive. So some special effects that we've come up with to illustrate breath, the laying on of hands, the receiving the Holy Spirit. One of the things you might do is just do a reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant, if that is in your tradition's practice. If not, just talk about what it was like for your congregation to have received baptism. Something else you might do is have members of the congregation come forward and receive the sign of the cross on their foreheads like we do at Ash Wednesday, but in this time use oil. What you could also do is in a physical way to do the laying on of hands part is at the benediction. This is something David does with his congregation every week. He invites them to hold hands with one another or lay a hand on a shoulder of somebody next to them to receive the benediction. So not only are they receiving God's blessing on themselves, they're also passing it on to their neighbors. It's really kind of cool.
A couple ways that you might make this a little more active and a little more middle school would be spreading the Holy Spirit by way of squirt guns. Have a few folks with loaded squirt guns running around squirting people.
And if
gently,
that's too middle school, you can do what they also do with a palm branch in water and just kind of shake it over the tops of people's heads.
Yes,
I mean, that's a lot more dignified and more adult, but the squirt gun idea is fantastic. And
yeah, could be fun.
Could be a lot of fun.
Similarly, the idea of passing the Spirit along, give people straws, drinking straws, and a Kleenex, and they have to try and pass the Kleenex down the row or from front to back, blowing through the straw and
actually,
keeping it
breathing
in the air,
through the straw. You go, you breathe in to hold the Kleenex on the end of the straw.
Oh, you were thinking
like the beach ball at
a
concert.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah. I don't know. You might have to try those and see which one of those would
try
work.
Try it at home first, yes.
Yeah. Theologically, well, that's going to be too much probably to think about theologically. I mean, it's not our activity that brings the Holy Spirit.
Right. It is from God.
It's from.
But we also pass it around, you know, for those who receive it, by the way they live their lives. They demonstrate the power of the Spirit within their lives. And so it is kind of like coughing on someone.
I guess. Anyway,
what's the next one?
What else were we doing? Oh, right. Okay. So for people smart, one of the things that's going on in the passage is you have Jews from Jerusalem going to Samaria.
Ooh.
And they didn't get along. And so that's one of the reasons they were amazed to find that they had received the word of God. So you might think about rival communities and what would happen if they got together to pray. So around here, that might be, you might think about the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys, for example. What happens if they get together? Or my alma mater, Virginia Tech, and their rival, UVA. Whatever rivalry there is in your area, imagine folks from those two communities getting together and praying with each other and for each other. Or politically, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Hillary Clinton, whatever. What would happen if they got together and prayed for each other? And for special effect, connecting with the benediction part, perhaps in your time of prayers, invite the congregation to get together in twos or threes and pray for each other.
Specifically for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As specifically as they are comfortable and able to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then going on to self, smart, the James and Peter went to Samaria and prayed for the Samaritans so that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They do what's necessary on behalf of the Samaritans, and seemingly without hesitation, the way this is written is just, they hear about it, they go. And it could be that as they were on their way to Samaria, they might have remembered the parable that Jesus told, and their own encounters with Samaritans in his ministry, the parable of the Good Samaritan and the Samaritan woman at the well, that they saw, that they experienced themselves. So as a self-smart, have your congregation think of a time when they did something for someone without hesitation. No hesitation at all, no thought to circumstances or the people that were involved, but just because they felt moved to do it.
And if you want to make it a people smart, have them share it.
There you go. Moving on.
The gospel lesson for the baptism of the Lord, year C, is Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. It starts off with John the Baptist and the people's expectations about him and whether he was the Messiah, and him then talking about baptism with water and baptism with fire. It may sound familiar because we just did this in Advent week 3, so you can go back and listen to our episode there and might pick up a few things. Then the actual baptism of Jesus takes place in verses 21 and 22, very understated as compared
to the other ones,
the other gospels. Synoptic Gospels. Mm-hmm. So there are also some strong connections, obviously, with the other texts for this day. The passing through the waters, for example, in Isaiah may have some echoes here. As Jesus passes through the waters of baptism, he may even have been thinking about that. Who knows? And several things in the Acts passage with the Holy Spirit also connect here as the Spirit descends on Jesus. So things that we've talked about in those texts, you might be able to pull over into this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 22, it tells us that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. If you have a balcony, this could be fun to make a paper airplane that looks like a dove. And we have a link in the show notes for
a demonstration
on how to do that, and have somebody launch it off the balcony and just let it soar around the sanctuary.
Hopefully it will soar and not plummet.
Indeed. Or you can, if you don't have a balcony, you can send it from the front perhaps. But anyway, soaring a bit of dove over your congregation, maybe even letting them make their own if you get the pattern for it. And
oh, that would be fun. Yeah,
there you go.
Awesome. Another thing you can do, John, in speaking of baptism with water, his baptism was a baptism of repentance. And repentance in Greek is literally to turn around. So here's a fun special effect. Preach from the back of the sanctuary. Make people literally turn around. Or if you don't do your entire sermon from the back of the sanctuary, start there. Or at some point, travel there. Make it necessary for people to have to turn around in order to see you or in order to see what's going on. In our Nature Smart, which I'll get to in a second, we have a slow motion video of a dove flapping its wings. And you can watch that and then maybe have your congregation mimic the flapping wings of a dove. They kind of go back and up and then meet behind and then they swoop down. We kind of scratched our heads as to what theological significance that might have, but the theological significance could simply be moving, and it feels good. You might have some issues with some folks who might have frozen shoulders and things like that, but, you know, we'll leave that up to you. But it's pretty cool. So I'm going to go on to Nature Smart and talk about that video.
There is the idea, too, that of the spirit being in us, and so
we're
acting out something connected with the spirit. So
I like that. Neat. Anyway, going on to Nature Smart again, John talking about baptizing with water, and the one coming behind him baptizing with fire. And we may have mentioned this in our earlier podcast that might be a foreshadowing of the fire coming at Pentecost. Water and fire in these particular circumstances are beneficial. Water cleanses and refreshes, and fire is beneficial in that it gives warmth and light and energy and prepares things.
They're both also purgative.
Yes, exactly. Well, yes.
Which can be beneficial.
Extremely beneficial, indeed. So we'll have a couple of links in the show notes for the video of the dove in flight, and then we actually have two, so you can watch those.
For self-smart, we want to think a little bit about the verse where the voice comes from heaven. There's the last phrase in the text. The voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. So you might say to your congregation, can you remember a time when someone announced that you were beloved, that you pleased someone well? And how did that feel? And were you pleased? Were you proud, embarrassed? How do you imagine Jesus might have felt in having that voice from heaven say it? And give them a moment or two to ponder all of those things, and then say, let me say it now for you. You are God's child, God's beloved, and God is pleased with you. And does that then maybe make you want to get rid of the chaff in your life at all? And would the flame of God's love for you be hot enough for you to live a different kind of life? So give them some time to work through that, and if it's helpful, give them something to write on to write down their answers. But mostly that's going to be internal work. So
there you go.
There it is. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our More Than Hearing Facebook page, or tweet us at More Than Hearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If any of these suggestions gave you an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to know how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for our show notes, links, and other resources on the website. Sometimes we have ideas that don't make it into the podcast. That's right. Bonus material. They could be helpful or might give you a spark. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS feeds. You can also find us on the iTunes Store now, too. We'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.